Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right. Welcome to the Viking Age podcast. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for thevikingage.com. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Shad, who writes for us here at the Viking Age, as well as Zone Coverage and Bring Me the News. Before we get started today, if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to our channel and like this video. And then also follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. All right. We had a little technical difficulties this morning, so I don't have any time for small talk, so we're just going to get right into it. Chris, topic number one has to do with a new name in the Vikings defensive coordinator search. They haven't hired anyone yet since firing Ed Donatell. We haven't heard any recent reports about interviews, so it seems like they're kind of waiting and see to how things shake out in the other coaching searches around the league. On Wednesday, according to ESPN's Kevin Seifert, the Vikings are reportedly waiting to see if they can interview current Denver Broncos defensive coordinator Ejiro Evero for their defensive coordinator vacancy. Evero is currently among the candidates to be the head coach of either the Colts or the Cardinals. And last year, Denver had the 10th best defense in the NFL, according to Football Outsiders DVOA metric. He worked with Kevin O'Connell on the Los Angeles Rams staff. I believe he was the safeties coach for the Rams when O'Connell was there as the offensive coordinator in 2020 and 2021. So there is a connection there between the two. And he also worked, I believe, with the 49ers when Kwesi Adofo-Mensah was a part of that organization as well. Chris, should Evero be the number one guy on the Vikings' possible defensive coordinator list, or should it be somebody else?
He's not the biggest name, but I think he's the best fit for the Vikings. I will look at a article that Luke Braun posted, at least some clips on Twitter this week, and he said, Evero has coached on the father of the Tampa 2 defense, Monty Kiffin, a co-founder of the zone defense, Don Capers, and Denver's last defensive guru, Fangio, plus modern defensive innovators such as Raheem Morris, who Evero won the Super Bowl with in his past season with the Rams. You've got to affect the quarterback, Evero said. If you can't get there with 4, you've got to get there with 5. If you can't get there with 5, you've got to bring 6. That's my philosophy, to bring pressure.
Okay. Well, he blitzes.
Want to play with great energy. When people put our tape on, I want them to see a defense that's playing fast, playing aggressive, playing physical, and flying around the ball. We've got to be attacking the ball, and that's going to be a point of emphasis. We also want to be situational masters, third down, red zone, 2-minute. We want to own and dominate those situations. So everything that I just read, or that Luke posted, is right in Kevin O'Connell's wheelhouse. So I understand why he doesn't want to hire a defensive coordinator before talking to Evero first. The problem is they don't even know if they can talk to him, because right now Mike Silver just tweeted about an hour ago as we're recording this.
Yeah.
About the same time we tried to log on earlier. But Mike Silver said Sean Payton is talking to him about remaining on his staff. So we'll talk a little bit about Sean Payton later. But I mean, that's the guy. And you know what? Brian Flores probably is the second best choice here, because he does operate in the same fashion, where he's aggressive. He wants to send people to the quarterback Avero's a guy that is in that position. He's not going to get hired as a head coach now. I don't think he's going to go to the Cardinals. Brian Flores likely going to be the Cardinals head coach, I think, because they've just run out of options there. And a hard ass is probably what that organization needs, to be honest. I think that Avero is the guy that they want number one. And, you know, I've fallen into this trap a little bit. It's kind of like, well, they're not going to get the guy they want. He's just going to stay in Denver or whatever. I mean, you gotta try. You have to try. So,
yeah. And as far as Flores with the Cardinals, I think there's some rumblings because they're interviewing the Bengals offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. I could see them hiring one of those guys. So I wouldn't, let that ship sail just yet. And then I've seen some people be like, well, if they hire Flores or Avero, then there's going to be a head coach in a year or two. And I'm like, yeah, well, that means they were successful. So,
right.
And the Vikings, the Vikings ran into this problem on the other side of the ball when Mike Zimmer was the head coach and they had to get offensive coordinators every year. You know, if you have a successful defense every year, you're going to get your staff's going to get poached or whatever. And in this day and age in the NFL, you'd probably want that to rather be on the defensive side of the ball than the offensive side of the ball, because it's easier to probably adjust with your defenses than it is with your offense. But yeah, I think they got to interview Avero. I think Vic Fangio is going to the Dolphins now. That's kind of settled after he was considering the Broncos and I think even the Niners. So that kind of takes him out of the running for the Broncos. So yeah, and I think the Broncos can block the Vikings from interviewing Avero if they want, because it's just a lateral move. And they would be smart to keep it. But then that would just be another reason to dislike Sean Payton, which we already have plenty of those. So just added to the list. Is there anyone the Vikings haven't interviewed yet for their DC job that they should maybe bring in?
I've talked about Jim Leonard, but I don't know what he's doing. I don't know if he's just collecting a check from Wisconsin, if he's even got interest in coaching in the NFL. I think that should be a call that should be made, and probably has. So if they're kind of waiting, I like the fact personally that they're going no stone unturned, because last year it was just kind of like, we're going with Ed Donatell. He knows defense. He's a veteran. He'll get it fixed. And he did not. He definitely did not get anything fixed, in all honesty. So I like the fact they're bringing guys in. I like the fact they're talking about it and they're just being thorough with this search, because Kevin O'Connell, I don't think it's the same way that he doesn't want to deal with defense like Mike Zimmer didn't want to deal with offense. I think that O'Connell wants to find somebody who knows what they're doing and can, lo and behold, adjust like we saw. Like, Avero knows a lot of different schemes and a lot of different ways to play. So, I mean, I think that's the guy that I would want to see as the Vikings head coach.
Or defensive coordinator.
Defensive coordinator.
I mean, I think they're going about it the way they kind of did last year with their head coaching search, where they interviewed a lot of people, and then they narrowed it down, and they took their time too. Like, Kevin O'Connell was hired after the Super Bowl. He couldn't be hired until after the Super Bowl anyways, but it's not like they knew a month before they were going to hire him. They pretty much knew maybe like a week or two before, and because people were like, why haven't they hired anyone yet? And it's like, well, you know,
waited on Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, being first doesn't always mean that you're gonna hire the best person. You know, sometimes it's good to take your time, especially with this stuff, especially with head coaches. But like, defensive coordinator, I think like maybe there's more people in this process than there was last year, because they're like, you know, let's be a little more smarter about this so we don't have a one and done for the wrong reasons. But yeah, I think Avero should be number one, Flores number two. If they don't get either of those guys, like, who's the guy from the Seahawks? They probably bring him.
See, here's the thing with him though. If they're waiting on him, and like, he's clearly not the first choice, right?
Right.
So that would be the second time that he hasn't been the first choice, and then you're just going to hire him. That's kind of a red flag. And he could be very good. I don't know.
Right.
But he, you know, look at the staffs he's been attached to as well. The John Fox Bears, and the he was even part of the Mark Trestman Bears, which, no thank you. Just a lot of bad coaching staff. It's not the Sean McVay tree, let's put it that way. So this seems like a hire that's a little bit more stable. Same with Flores. I would hope it's one of those two.
But he was but Vic Fangio was, he worked under Vic Fangio for a little bit with the Bears too, right? And those defenses were good.
Right.
So,
well, and Vic, here's the thing about Vic Fangio. They haven't finalized that hire in Miami yet. So there's an agreement.
No.
So
I think it was either Rappaport or Schefter that reported this morning that it's pretty much a done deal.
Oh, okay.
So one of those guys, yeah, it was this morning. I saw it first thing this morning. So if one of those guys comes out and says it's usually pretty close to being finalized, if not already.
Because one's a press release, but yeah.
All right. Who's that guy that we talked about on Monday, you know, for like a good 25 minutes about possibly signing? Tom Brady. What do you know? A day later, he announced his retirement from the NFL. I believe it was like exactly a year when he announced it a year ago, or it was revealed and he had to come out with his statement. So on Wednesday, Tom Brady shared a video of him sitting on the beach about a minute long, sharing, saying he is retiring from the NFL. And this time it's, quote, it's for good. Brady has been in the NFL since the 2000 season. He has been in the NFL for more than half my life. And he will turn 46 years old in August. Chris, do you believe he's done for good?
I'm going to have to wait until week one to say for sure. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like, just wait. I'm trying to think of words because it's just like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Like, maybe. I mean, the guy is 46. I remember working at McDonald's when I was a kid. And this guy came in and he had a cane and this like green NFL alumni blazer. I didn't even know they gave it out to him. Maybe they don't anymore, but like he was getting like a coffee or whatever from McDonald's and Rochester, of course, the home of the Mayo Clinic. It should just be named Mayo World, honestly, because that's what they're trying to turn it into. But
sponsored by Duke.
Yeah, he was getting a couple tests done and I'm like, wow, you used to play in the NFL. And he goes, I wish I didn't, just because of the toll it took on his body and everything else. I didn't ask what his name was or anything else, but I mean, that's what I always think about when I think
it was Bud Grant.
Iron. Yeah, it was Bud Grant. I would have recognized Bud Grant, but yeah, I mean, 46 year old, taking all those hits, didn't really look like he was having fun with the Buccaneers. I don't think anybody was.
Nobody was
with the Buccaneers last year. It just kind of, you know, at this point, and he's got, no matter where he plays next year, he's going to make more money in the broadcast booth with Fox. Mm-hmm. We don't know if he's good or if he's like Tony Romo, will just talk over everybody the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
I did notice what you were talking about, where that he never shuts up. And
Tony Romo
going on about like Mike, yeah, Michael Jordan and like Clyde Drexler,
dude,
and
dude,
like whatever.
Chill out.
And just, yeah. Like, I don't know if he like pops like five-hour energies before a broadcast or like does some illegal drugs or something. I don't know.
He hates silent. And
yeah,
sometimes it's needed.
I like the enthusiasm, but.
Oh, yeah. But did you see was it Joey Molinaro who did the Tom or the Tony Romo? He did a video of Tony Romo. Yeah, you got to watch that because he nails it. As far as Tom Brady announcing goes, I think it wouldn't be terrible because I just watched the Tuck Rule 30 for 30 or whatever last night. And Tom Brady, he was pretty good, like as far as like describing the plays that they were running, what he was seeing on the field and everything. And I was like, OK, I could see him in the broadcast.
He's also got a sense of humor. Like,
yes.
It doesn't always show, but I mean, he does have a sense of humor that might make it entertaining. But
and he actually, like, surprisingly, I don't know if it's surprisingly or not, but curses a lot. And I'm like, okay, might have to fix that before you go on, you know, network TV. But he's like, fucking, I'm like, you've been hanging out with Gronk, like, clearly all day.
We need the Tom Brady Gronkowski broadcast booth. Just like, even if it's a simulcast, just.
I have to think that the Sean Payton decision to go to the Broncos had a lot to do with this as well. One, they have the same agent. And, you know, so if he went to the Saints or the Dolphins, maybe Tom Brady's still in the league and trying to play for one of those teams. But he went to the Broncos. They clearly have Russell Wilson. They're not bringing in Tom Brady. They can't afford to. And then, you know, let's see, like, what's he going to do? Go play for the Jets? No, thanks. You know, go play for the Raiders. The Niners probably are just going to stick with Trey Lance because Purdy's out for what, a year now because he's got to get Tommy John surgery.
That's crazy.
The twins
usually figure that out about 6 months too late, and then we spend like 18 months going like, well, he hasn't been the same pitcher.
Those twins doctors, you know, they're pretty good.
Dr. Nick.
But yeah, I'm not even gonna say that he's done for good, because this is the NFL. We've seen this with Brett Favre, we've seen this with Philip Rivers. Like, these guys love to be in the NFL, they love to be competitive, they love to play at a high level. He loved to go off on a high note. Like, John Elway went out like the absolute best way possible. He won the Super Bowl and he was done. That's it. Like, he probably wanted to play more, but, you know, looking back on it, he had more, probably one of the best exits, if not the best, of his career, because he didn't go down like Favre did with the Vikings when he was lying flat on his face in the TCF Bank Stadium after the Bears pounded him in the turf. But yeah, I'm not ruling it out that he's not coming back, because, you know, injuries happen in training camp and mini camp or whatever. And what if someone gets hurt and then they're like Tom Brady?
What does the script say?
Right.
Aaron Foster says the NFL script. What is the script?
Oh my
say?
God! If you look at the quote tweets for that. Are so good. So what? The one where it's like Aaron Hernandez looking at his script in 2012. It's like what?
Fred Smoot looking at it in 2005. Yeah, like I'm the captain now. Like Vikings getting their script in what, 2016? And like every Teddy's year. Just like what happens to my leg now?
Yeah. Those are what? Good. And the funny part is a lot of those, like, and there's like legitimate posts on like blogs and news sources stuff like former NFL player admits the league is rigged, and everyone's like, did you watch the video?
He's talking out of his cheek.
Do you know what show he's who he's hosting with? Like PFT commenter, he's not necessarily known as like a non-joking person. I don't believe he's done for good. I don't think you can ever rule it out. Like you said, until week one he's not on the field. I don't even know if like you rule it out until Thanksgiving, because what if he's like someone gets hurt, he's like I can play.
Rips off his suit right out of the broadcast booth.
Come on, it's Tom Brady. He can do whatever he wants. But looking back at his career, he was in the league for 23 years. That is a long time. You know, what is something that immediately comes to mind when you just think about Tom Brady's NFL career, if it in fact is done?
Oh, I thought you meant where you're going to think about 23 years in the NFL. Pain. There's that.
Yeah.
What year did they go undefeated with Moss? Was that 2007, 2008? Because that's towards the top of 2007. That's towards the top of my list, because Randy Moss's career basically had a revival as soon as he stepped in New England because he set the touchdown record. Obviously, you gotta look at the seven Super Bowls Tom Brady's won.
It's pretty good.
Basically, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And the cool thing about Brady, and this is why people are like, oh, I hate Tom Brady, whatever. The fact that he was a sixth round pick and all the poking and prodding and deep dives. And, you know, you've seen the movie Draft Day where it's like nobody went to Bo Callahan's birthday party. Like scouts actually do that shit. So, I mean, for somebody in the sixth round to be like, I'm the greatest quarterback ever. That's really cool to me. Like, no matter what, no matter, you know, if he just eats kale constantly, whether he, you know, tries to slam the Lombardi trophy at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, like that's awesome. So yeah, that's what I think of Tom Brady.
It's funny, when I was watching that Tuck Rule movie, there's certain things that, like, if they don't happen, he probably doesn't have the career that he has. Like Mo Lewis doesn't knock out Drew Bledsoe in week two of the 2001 season. Does Brady even like get a shot on the field? If the Tuck Rule doesn't happen, does the Patriots dynasty even happen? And then all the Patriots were like, yeah, we probably would have been fine. We would have been like that. But you never know it. If the Patriots lose that game against the Raiders in the playoffs, do the Patriots keep Drew Bledsoe and not trade him to the Bills the next year? Like, there's so many different things that could have happened differently. I'm always going to think of that comeback against the Falcons in the Super Bowl, because that was ridiculous. Like, just everything about it. The fact that Kyle Shanahan was involved.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that Matt Ryan was there. It was just like, no way. They're not going to do this. And they did. So I always remember that. And just like, he's just been in the league for like basically my entire life of remembering the NFL. So it's going to be odd with him not out there, I think. It's going to be kind of like, I don't know, like, when Michael Jordan wasn't in the NBA, because growing up, he was in there like every year as well. So when he went away, it was kind of like, okay, what do we do now? Like, what? who's the top guy? Patrick Ewing. So it'll be interesting to see. But I think it's different as far as like comparing to Michael Jordan and stuff. Like, the NFL already has like a ton of star players to make up for Brady's loss. They have Mahomes. They have Burrow. They always have all these guys. So I don't think they're worried they're going to lose like interest or anything because Tom Brady is retiring. But I did not like the Patriots growing up. I didn't like that they won every game. But looking back, you just got to respect it. Like, they're good, whether they did it legally or not. But, you know, They didn't get caught as much as they probably should have. But it was, is he the greatest quarterback in NFL history? Because I saw that debate going around yesterday on the First Take shows or whatever. And people were like, well, he's not the greatest regular season quarterback. He's not the greatest playoff quarterback. But his, I would say he's the greatest overall because, like, he has records. He's got Super Bowls. What do you want? What else do you want him to do?
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I mean, I would take Kirk Cousins over him personally. Oh. I don't know what you're talking about, but
don't give me
no. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to compare. And again, like we always talk about, you don't know about the quarterbacks in like the 60s and 70s because we never watched them play. Greatest quarterback in my lifetime, probably Tom Brady. Just because, I mean, the Super Bowls, like everybody talks about, well, you need everything perfect to go around. The quarterback still drives the engine, especially on, I don't know, 4th and 8 with the season on the line. The guy throws beyond the sticks, even if the guy is double covered. But
and you know what? Tom Brady could have been like, he could have been the, he could have had like the record contracts and stuff. He never did. Now, he did have a wife who made probably around $40 million a year annually.
That helps.
It does help. But at the same time, there's no reason, like he's competitive. You don't think he wanted to make more money than his wife? Maybe he didn't. But like that aspect
towards
of,
the end,
yeah, that aspect of him, I think, is interesting because like he could have been, he could have made $50 million a year. He didn't, but he didn't because he realized it's better to make less and then have the team be able to do more in other areas. You know, other players aren't like that.
Weird.
That's their decision. All right. So we talked a little bit about Sean Payton. This is a Vikings podcast, by the way. But there just isn't a whole lot of Viking stuff going on. We'll get to the end. There's some Viking stuff at the end. Broncos, they made a trade on Tuesday with the Saints that allowed Sean Payton to become the new head coach in Denver. The Broncos sent this year's first round pick, 30th overall, that they got from the Dolphins in the Bradley Chubb trade, and a 2024 second round pick to New Orleans in exchange for Payton and the Saints' 2024 third round pick. Broncos were what, 5-11 last year, 4-whatever. They weren't good. They weren't good.
Yeah.
Can he fix the Broncos? Do you think as soon as next season?
You know, here's the thing with the Broncos. I don't think there's a lot of good players on that team. Like overall, like you're gonna have Javonte Williams coming back from a multi-ligament knee injury, so that's problem number one. Cortland Sutton's the ultimate tease. Like he's a physical freak, but he never does anything, whether it's Drew Lock, Russell Wilson, whoever is behind center. He just can't seem to get out of his own way, whether it be injuries or whatever. He is at a point where I need to see it to believe it. Jerry Jeudy has also been a disappointment. Like there's not, I mean, their defense is great. Like their defense is awesome. Don't get me wrong there because I like what they're doing defensively. Their offense is filled with a lot of big names who don't do a lot. So when I look at this team and I look at Sean Payton, offensive mastermind. Can he get Russ to stop acting like a psychopath? I don't know. Like, I don't know.
No more,
like,
no more Subway commercials.
Yeah. No, the dangerous. You got to stop eating Subway, bud. Like, you're violently crapping before games. This is not good.
Yeah. I think what Nathaniel Hackett did last year, his biggest mistake first was like, we're going to do what Russ wants to do. And it's like, I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah. Let, so let Payton, Russ cook.
Sean Payton's got some, you know, he's got some experience behind him. He's got a track record. So he can be like, yeah, I'm going to run the show. You're not going to do that. And Russ can be like, oh, okay. And he might actually listen to him. And I think Sean Payton's, I feel like in the past, he's been able to get more out of maybe less than a lot of coaches. You look at some of his quarterbacks he's had over the years, like Drew Brees towards the end of his career, not that great. He was able to get as much as possible out of Teddy Bridgewater when he went like 5-0 that one year. Jameis Winston was playing pretty well before he got hurt last year. He, for some reason, was infatuated with Taysom Hill. And thought he
probably
was
probably on the first flight to Denver right now.
For sure.
How quick can you get me over there?
But I feel like he can get the most out of like the players you named, Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton. He can just use, he can look at them and be like, okay, you can do this, but you can't do this. So let's not do what you can't do. And let's do, you know, more than you can. And he'll probably lean more on the, I think he like Sean Payton gets credit for like being kind of a quote unquote quarterback guru, but he had some really good running games over the years with like Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, Latavius Murray, Deuce McAllister.
You know who would be perfect on that team? Jahmyr Gibbs, Alabama.
Because yeah, I was going to say
a perfect compliment to Javonte Williams.
I was going
to
say Saquon Barkley.
That too.
He's a free agent. But I don't know how much money they have. Yeah. I just feel like, okay, now I can't root for the Broncos because I just despise Sean Payton and his cockiness because, you know, he acts like he's Tom Brady, the Tom Brady of coaching, and he has seven Super Bowls. But he won one Super Bowl and they cheat to get the Super Bowl. Okay.
You're beating around the bush too because he's an asshole. What? Let's not forget.
Oh, yeah,
that.
Yeah. For sure. But I mean,
my parents, for whatever reason, decided to watch the Sean Payton movie on Netflix. And like their main takeaway, or at least my mom's, was, yeah, we looked at each other and we're like, that guy's an asshole. Like,
yeah. I think I saw somebody, I don't know who posted, but it was like, Sean Payton is called Greg, or like the reunion between Sean Payton and Greg Williams in Denver would be great. I'm like, for who? No, it would not.
Chiropractors, yeah. Surgeons, yeah.
No,
you know, team physicians.
I think expectations for the Broncos will be higher. I don't think they're a championship contender. I think maybe something around 9-8 is realistic. Maybe a sneak into the playoffs. I think it's capable. We've seen what coaching can do. You look at the Vikings, you look at the Giants, the Dolphins, like, and Sean Payton has experience. So now, and look at the Saints before he got there. They were the embarrassment of the league. Mm-hmm. They were the Aints, and now they're like expected to be good every year pretty much because of him. Do you think the Broncos gave up too much to acquire?
It's a lot for a coach. Especially when you have a team like the Broncos who need some pieces, like I said. A lot of names, not a lot of game. And maybe Sean Payton can maximize them, and that's what they're betting. When you're picking 30th, you know, the list of immediate impact players isn't very high. For a team like the Broncos who says, okay, maybe it was the coaching, maybe that's worth it to them to bring in Sean Payton. The other thing that's interesting is that George Patton, the Broncos GM, had no input on this coaching search. This was all ownership, which is hilarious because ownership had a wild ride to get to Sean Payton because they called DeMeco Ryans twice. They talked to Jim Harbaugh, and then they finally just said, let's go with Sean Payton. Actually, they decided on Sean Payton. They're like, let's just call DeMeco one more time. Hey, you want to come? And he probably just hung up on it.
He picked the Texans. Yeah. Maybe it's because he played there and he might probably has home and family there, but like,
well, and there could be more security with that job too, because he is a Texan. He's probably one of the players that is synonymous with that franchise next to JJ Watt. Yeah. And somebody else.
He can also do a lot with the roster. He basically can do whatever he wants. And Denver,
right?
You're like,
so maybe they're Russell giving Wilson. Him the Dan Campbell style contract where like, we're just going to give you 5 ironclad years, go to work instead of.
Because in Denver, you're like, here's Russell Wilson. See if you can figure him out. And it's like, okay. So
I'm unlimited. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do you know off the top of your head some of the other coaches that were traded back in the day? I got a list right here in front of me.
John Gruden.
Yep. From what
I know, Mike Zimmer was rumored to be on the block before Kyle Rudolph pushed off in New Orleans.
Right.
That was a thing. Coaches that were traded. Was Tony Dungy traded?
No, he was fired.
He was fired, excuse me. Who were the others?
Bill Belichick from the Jets to the Patriots.
Oh.
Who else?
That's a mistake.
Yes. Don Shula, way back in the day, from the Colts to the Dolphins for first round pick.
Really?
1970. Mike Holmgren, Seahawks, second round pick. Here's a funny one. Herm Edwards from the Jets to the Chiefs in 2006 for a fourth round pick. And then Bruce Arians, most recently, because he retired and he still had contract left with the Cardinals. And the Bucs sent the Cardinals a sixth round pick for Bruce.
Not bad.
And apparently the Browns tried to trade for Jim Harbaugh back in 2014. But That didn't happen. Interesting. I would say that Bill Belichick, John Gruden, and Don Shula paid off because I believe they all won Super Bowls with the teams that, traded for them. So Broncos are hoping for something similar. All right, let's move on to the last topic, which is the most exciting of all. The first annual Pro Bowl game taking place this weekend, starting tonight, Thursday, at 6 p.m. Central on ESPN with some couple skills challenges. And then some more things will happen on Sunday at 2 p.m. Central time on ESPN. I think there's some 7-on-7 stuff on Sunday, flag football. Let's see. Tonight, what events are going on tonight? We have Epic Pro Bowl Dodgeball. Dodgeball. Wow. Can't read.
It's probably hard to say, though.
Bowling. Yeah. Lightning round splash catch where they toss water balloons at each other. Okay. Longest drive, which is guys hitting with the golf clubs, I guess, you know, because it's a golf skills in football. And precision passing and best catch. So that's all tonight that will be going on. I think I already saw some clips of like Za'Darius Smith doing the Happy Gilmore on the longest drive competition. And he hit it pretty far. So that's tonight. And then on Sunday is more events. Let's see. Best catch finale, gridiron gauntlet, which is looks like it's like an obstacle course. Move the chains, kick-tack-toe, and then some 7-on-7 flag football. Wow, I have no expectations for this at all. 7 Vikings are on the NFC roster. Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, Kirk Cousins is going to love this weekend. He's going to have so much fun. TJ Hawkinson, Danielle Hunter, Za'Darius Smith, and Andrew DePaola, long snapper. Are you going to watch any of this?
No. No. Like, I don't even care. Like, I haven't watched the Pro Bowl. I think I had to watch it last year because, like, in case something happened for Bring Me the News or whatever. But, I mean, like, I was talking to Lindsey Young about...
Kirk Cousins throw a pick six last year?
Maybe.
I think he did.
I don't know. It's so irrelevant. Players like Josh Allen is golfing instead of doing this.
Yeah.
Like he's playing actual golf. He's like, no, screw that. Like Tyler Huntley, who threw 2 touchdowns, is a Pro Bowler. Because the top 7 quarterbacks in the AFC, 7 quarterbacks said, nah, I'm good. I'm a little banged up, got a little whatever. Like, I don't know if the NFL has to put their foot down and be like, you are going because people are paying out the ass to go watch this, which, why? Like, I mean, if you're in Vegas and, like, if you live in Vegas or whatever, you're just like, I'm bored. I'll go check it out. Like, there's a whole bunch of people. But, I mean, there is, like, I'm not going to go and watch Za'Darius Smith try and bomb a 400-foot drive because it's going to go – he could probably do better than I could on the golf course, but I don't know. They warned the players about this. They said, hey, if you're not going to take this seriously, we're going to do something else. So at least the NFL is trying to do something. But I mean, it's not like with all-star games, I think baseball's the only one where I'm like legit, like kind of interested in the game. And they've done some things in baseball that are kind of cool. Like miking up the pitchers and the catchers, having interviews in the dugout, little kind of cool things where the broadcast was actually kind of interesting to watch last year. The Pro Bowl, it's a whole bunch of guys who had just gotten through a 17-game season where it used to be 16, so now they're even more beat up in a lot of things. Some of those guys were playing last weekend and don't exactly want to talk to people right now. Yeah. Like, I know I sure as hell, you think, I mean...
Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, I don't know. I understand it's baked into the players' contracts, so they have to do something.
Yep.
But I mean, at this point, the best is almost to just make it an award at the end of the year and say, okay, and maybe you have like a fan festival where people can come out and like get autographs and do whatever. But I mean, I have no interest in it at all.
It's got to be the worst all-star game like of the major professional leagues. Like NHL is better, NBA is better. Baseball's better. I would even put like MLS above.
I've never watched an MLS soccer, but I mean, I like the skills competitions are fun.
Yeah.
That they're on the right track. Cause I'd rather watch like the 3-point shooting contest, the dunk contest, NHL skills competition that's going down this weekend. That is a damn blast to watch, especially because Trevor Zegras is out there blindfolded.
I think they should just get rid of the whole thing have the two worst teams in the league play the week before the Super Bowl, and whoever wins gets the number one pick. Like, come on.
So many people would be like tanking though, just because like
no, whoever wins,
like, oh, so whoever the, wins, yeah, gets the number one.
Yeah,
but they would be losing. They would be tanking then because those players would sit there and go, "I'm not losing my job." Like they'd be like, it's the same thing that happened with the Texans in Week 18.
Well, maybe like give them an incentive. Like you get some. If you're the worst team, you get a bonus. I don't know.
Massive. They gotta bonus, do, so it doesn't matter.
I don't know. They gotta do something. Like, I don't even know what
they have to do. Something though. Like, do they have to do something?
I think they do. Like, best, as far as TV,
they have to eliminate stuff. The game. That's what they have to do because it doesn't freaking matter.
Yeah. Well, like the TV contracts, I think there's probably stuff like this week there has to be some sort of event.
Yeah, probably so. That's in there too. I don't know, man. I mean, it's so on brand for the Vikings to have seven players and go to Vegas for something that just doesn't matter. Like, you know, and we'll get memes like Kirk will do something like maybe they'll put the chains out. Whoa, Kirk in Vegas with the chains. Oh, look. And, you know, they'll ask Justin Jefferson about his contract and he'll be like,
we need a camera to follow Kirk. See if he's going to. They'll bring him with the chains and bring him to like Cheetos or something in there. See how that goes in the VIP room. See if that does anything.
That is content.
That would be a sight to see. That would be a sight to see. Yeah, I just and then like I'm not expecting it to be sold out or anything. Like in the crowd, like it's gonna be casual. It's gonna be people in Vegas who are like, "You want to see this today?" sure.
Better than like, sitting in the sports book, I guess.
I don't know. I doubt it. Like this isn't even close to being the best thing in Vegas you can probably do this weekend.
Right.
It's just weird. I don't know. Maybe it'll go well and maybe something good will come out of it. But and the games that they have just seem like super childish, like a water balloon fight. Like,
yeah.
What? What are they going to have? Like the boat race or something?
Remember NFL like quarterback club?
Yeah.
Like what? That is fun. Like that is something. That's what I want to watch. Like or like you know one on one races.
Or right. Something. Or do like the strongest, like a strongest man competition or something. Like
just get like some hog molly.
Just get like just, Aaron like, Donald in there or something. And, yeah, and Dexter Lawrence. Just get him in there. Just like see how much like if you can lift a car or not. Like I'm sure the agents would freak out about that.
Somebody's just gonna like destroy their back lifting a freaking semi.
We're not gonna do that. I think they need to if they want to keep doing this, they need to go back to the drawing board and like have some actual like I don't know legit competition because I don't care who can catch a water balloon or not or who can you know kick tac toe like what
kick tac toe is actually kind of mint. When you think about it,
well, why you need the kick in there? You already got a toe in there. Why you need the kick?
Blair Walsh is way his face when he got the script must have been interesting. 2015.
I tweeted that's the one I tweeted.
Whoa,
Blair Walsh being like just like Michael Scott, like just blank stare face, like okay. So, all right, that's all the time we have for today. Next week, maybe we'll have. The Vikings will have a defensive coordinator. We'll bet on it.
Or we could talk about this hot action at the Pro Bowl. But
we're gonna see. We're gonna see what happens.
Senior Bowl's this weekend, though. Sorry to interrupt.
It is. I don't watch that either. I don't watch that either. So, you know, shout out to all the people down there covering that because it's fun. I saw yesterday, Kwesi Nofemensa was not let in a restaurant because it was at capacity. So. You know, they're popular place this time of year. So,
yeah.
Also, very tall, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. He's like 6'6". Like,
you forget how tall him and Sean McVay are. Kevin O'Connell, Sean McVay. He'll call him Sean McVay because he's basically Sean McVay.
Like, yeah, they're very similar. 6'5"?
But yeah, like Kevin O'Connell's 6'5". Kwesi's like just as tall. Like Kwesi, they stand next to the Welfs. It's like, oh yeah, they're huge.
Who was talking to Brian Flores? There's a picture of that at Senior Bowl, being like, hey, keeping an eye on you. So yeah, that's it. That's it for today. Lots of so much stuff to talk about with the Vikings. So much. It's February, and we're already running out of things to talk about. So it's great. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe and like this video. Follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook, and this podcast will be up in the morning at the very latest on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, wherever you get your podcasts. But until next time, Chris and I will talk to you later.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.